Pinsky, and welcome to another interview of on GivingCirclesHelp.com, where we're compiling information and interviews from other people who are running Giving Circles. Our goal is to help each other learn and continuously improve our ability to make an impact with our giving. I'm speaking with Melissa Sines and Rebecca Southers. They are co-founders of the Frederick Giving Project. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for interviewing us.
Thanks for participating. You know, I was really attracted to your website. You have this idea that giving should be fun, and you even use the word irreverent. Could you talk a little bit about your philosophy of fun and how that's influenced your giving circle?
Well, I think, you know, like anything else, this is our volunteer time. This is our project that we wanted to get going. And so it's influenced by our personalities, obviously. And I think we already have a giving circle in Frederick. It's the Women's Giving Circle of Frederick County. And it has a very distinct character. Every woman that joins gets a teapot. They have quarterly dinners together. And there are lots of people, obviously some men, but also some women, that they wanted to give, they wanted to be involved, but that particular culture didn't appeal to them necessarily. And we wanted to do something where the activities related to it were obviously philanthropic in nature, but also things that we would want to do in our spare time and have a lot of fun doing. And it just so happens that for us, more irreverent and silly activities are the kinds of things that we enjoy doing. And apparently there are lots of others that agree with us.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing that really struck me on your website is your definition of philanthropist. One who actively promotes human well-being was the first definition, and the second was you. And I love that thought because I think sometimes giving feels, or philanthropy feels out of reach for most people. That's something that, you know, people with money do. But I noticed that your giving was very accessible. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, definitely. We wanted to make it something that folks our age could get involved in and without you know, a huge barrier to entry. And so our buy-in is $100 a year. We let folks pay that, you know, quarterly, monthly, however they need to. And, you know, in that way, it allows them to, you know, kind of get into the game without this, you know, huge mountain in front of them. You know, a giving circle with a buy-in of $1,000 is out of reach for most people in our income bracket and in our age range. And so we just really wanted to kind of just take down that barrier between, you know, this philanthropy is something that I can do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that's reserved for, you know, old white men.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that there are a lot of people who felt the same way. So people are resonating with your idea of having fun and giving a little bit, you know, not large sums of money, but accessible sums of money. Are you mm-hmm. finding it easy to attract new members?
Well, it's a new project, and this is our second year. And we have been successful. We ended up our first year with, it was 58, right, Melissa? 58
mm-hmm.
members, that we call them givers,
mm-hmm.
That had signed up and joined the Frederick Giving Project and donated $100. We're almost at 80 givers at this point. So, you know, it's a small town, and like anything else, we're trying to build authentic relationships with people. And so there's a lot of one-on-one communication and people asking their friends and inviting them. A lot of the way we've marketed it, there's general marketing in the community, of course, our website and our Facebook presence and our Twitter presence, which is very generationally appropriate since we're appealing to a younger set of our community and reaching out to engage them in this project. But a lot of what we've done has really been about a personal connection. So we'll have house parties. Each giver will host a house party, and it could be whatever their personality wants it to be. Some people have hosted just evening potluck dinners. We just had one earlier this month that was an afternoon barbecue, and people brought hula hoops and played Twister, and there were crabs. You know, we're in Maryland, so Maryland crabs. And you know, just having a few moments during, what in essence just a a gathering, a party at some house to talk about the Giving Project, to make a pitch for it and give people the opportunity to sign up, either to join right there or at least to receive our newsletter or like us on Facebook so that they can continue to get more information about the project.
Mm, interesting. So would you say that the house parties then are one of your primary recruiting tools?
I think so. After each one of the house parties, we generally see an influx of new givers, which is, you know, a nice pattern. I think also our service projects have been a good recruitment tool, and that wasn't their intended focus, but every time we do a service project that is visible, we see another influx of new members. Earlier this spring, we did a couple of service projects, and one of them was very visible, the Cakes for Cause Cupcake Run. And so this is our grantee from last year, and we supported them in their fundraising 5K and went out and provided course marshals and people to hand out cupcakes to all of the runners when they finished the race. And after that event, which got a lot, there were great pictures of people in cupcake costumes and us handing out cupcakes to people and having a good time at this event. And people do those things, and we tend to get a bunch of new members after each time we do something like that as well.
Outside of your service projects that you do, how can you talk a little bit about that first? Like, how often do you do them? Does everybody agree that we want to do this type of service project? Are you organizing them?
We have a service project coordinator, and it's their job to organize the project. Although, you know, again, this is year two. So the first year we sort of went through, and as things were, as people approached us with different projects, we sort of pieced it together, and we were, you know, building the plane as we flew it, so to speak. This year, we talked about it, and a lot of our leadership team felt that, well, we did too many events, and it pulled us in two different directions, and we needed to have a plan. So early in this calendar year, we actually set our calendar of events. So our events for the rest of this year are already on our calendar, which is on our website, so people can plan ahead for them. And we set a goal of one event per month. And so some of 1 month it's a service project, 1 month it's a happy hour or a social event, and we just mix those up wherever we can.
And the social event, is that the house party that you've been talking about?
House parties are social, a few happy hours. We try to, you know, we have some different goals with our once-a-month events. We want to recruit new members, we want to engage our current members and give them the opportunity to network with each other. And again, we're about building an authentic sense of community with our Giving Circle members. We want them to feel like they are a part of a community where, and that's why a lot of people sign up. So those goals are there. Also, performing service. Sometimes they also have a fundraising function, so we have something to supplement the $100 per giver donation that is made, and all of that again goes to our grantee at the end of the year. So we look for events that hit more than one of those goals. So for example, the cupcake run obviously was a service project, but also because we got to work together with team building and you know, kind of built the group and gave people a chance to really interact with each other. We did another service project called the Big Sweep, which hit all three. It was a service project. We cleaned up litter along the side of the road. But it works as a fundraiser as well, because you get pledges and sponsorships to like sponsor your team. So we were able to raise money to go back into the Giving Project. And, you know, there's a small group of 12 or so, I think it was 12 or 14 that were on the team that really got to go out and perform a service project together and walk along the road. And they were just picking up litter, but still a good chance to talk and interact and get to know people in a different way. So we look for things that accomplished a lot of objectives.
Yeah. Do you find that some of your AD members are more active than others?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it ranges in any group, and I think that we try to keep the options open so that, you know, there are folks that, you know, are happy with writing a $100 check, saying they're a giver, and, you know, coming to the party at the year when we announce the grantee. But then there are other folks who want to get involved either, you know, the leadership team or leading the specific project or party that we're working on, or, you know, working with our grantee. And so we kind of leave open and always have those, you know, opportunities out there. So there's a range of opportunities for you to get involved, and, you know, we're happy for you to be involved in, you know, whatever way you need to, because I think that, you know, at our age in particular, a lot of folks are, you know, they have family and kids, and, you know, so it's a little hard for them to get out for the events, but that doesn't mean that they can't be part of something good that we're doing in this community.
Mm-hmm. And so I would imagine part of that feeling good is like the significance of the dollar amount that you guys are donating. Do you think that's one of the reasons mm-hmm. why people come back or participate?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, and the way that we have about it, you know, like you can give, you know, $25 here and $25 there to, you know, the MS walk or the, you know, this, your friend's race for breast cancer. But, you know, if you take part of that money that you would be, you know, spreading out of a year and throw it into a pot with other people, you know, you're $100 over the year. You know, last year, in our first year, we were able to make an $8,000 grant. And, you know, being able to be part of, you know, a bigger impact, it makes people feel good.
Mm-hmm. Could you tell us a little bit about your grant process? How do you decide who you're going to give money to?
We do have a committee chair that runs that process. And basically what happens is we send out a letter of inquiry, or we invite letters of inquiry, and we do set some pretty specific guidelines on that. We try to be as clear as possible about what we're looking for in a grantee. We're looking for an organization that sort of matches our organization's color, so a little bit entrepreneurial, maybe some, you know, just some new ideas, some energy that a lot of our givers can relate to. We also want to fund Frederick County organizations, and so we really want to, you know, focus on keeping our dollars local. So we write letters of inquiry from there. In our first year, we received 15 letters of inquiry. The grants committee chair and a small group, our grants committee, sat down together and read through all of the letters of inquiry, followed up with the nonprofit to ask some clarifying questions, and decided on the top five. And the top five submitted proposals, and we tried to keep, you know, the administrative burden on the nonprofits as low as possible, but short proposals, and so we could have more information about those organizations. From that, we distilled it down to a summary paragraph, you know, to our members, and all of the members had access to a summary paragraph, and if they wanted to, they could click through to the whole proposal and the whole letter of inquiry and read everything and get more detail. And we left that to their discretion, but everybody voted. So each Giving Project member gets one vote. So it's a very democratic process. And it was a very close vote in our first year. But I do believe we ended up with 100% participation. All of the givers that had donated voted. And we did a lot of follow-up, you know, a lot of text messaging and a lot of, you know, phone calls for the few people that kind of straggled in at the last moment and hadn't voted yet. But you know, everyone ended up doing so.
And how were they voting? Was it electronic?
Yeah, we used the SurveyMonkey.
SurveyMonkey, okay. All right. Well, we have just a couple minutes left, so just if you would, somebody, given that you've just started this giving circle, what advice would you give to somebody who wanted to start their own giving circle?
Have a clear vision for, you know, what you're trying to accomplish. What are the goals that you'd like to achieve with your giving circle? Is it, you know, to build, you know, a stronger network of, like, close circle friends? You know, for us, it was wanting to make philanthropy feel accessible for people like us. Younger people that didn't have as much disposable income weren't able to give $1,000, for example, per year to a higher-end giving circle, but that still wanted to be connected to each other and to their community. And we also wanted to be very focused on our local community as well. So we had clear vision about what we wanted, and I think that made everything else much easier. It's easier for us to say this service project fits our brand, it fits, you know, what we're trying to create with the Giving Project, whereas the service project, while very wordy, is it doesn't fit in with the culture that we're trying to create. So it really helped us to keep a focus, which was incredibly helpful.
Rebecca, would you like to add anything?
Too, I was going to say one other thing. You know, dispersing the work as much as possible, dispersing the leadership as much as possible, so that kind of our idea, our baby, but if we fail to bring other people in and share our vision with them and let them help us create that vision together, then, you know, it's just me and Rebecca sitting here with $200. So it makes, you know, we really needed to do that outreach to other people and other people, you know, kind of some rain, you know, some space to do things that they're interested in doing too, and to take it where they want to take it, and to, you know, kind of let it organically grow as opposed to directed growth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's really helped us. And, you know, I think Rebecca and I counted it as a huge success this past month in April, when we had two really big service projects. And her and I, like, basically, you know, showed up and volunteered at both, but we just got to show up and volunteer at both.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really cool to see that other people had kind of taken that on and, like, run with it and said, I'm going to take ownership of this, and I'm part of this, and I want to succeed. And so kind of, like I said, dispersing that leadership and, you know, letting go of control wherever possible is also more advice that I would give.
Well, I love that, because then you don't burn out, so you get to still participate in it and enjoy it, and people get to have more fun at the same time, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Well, Melissa and Rebecca, I want to thank you very much for joining us today and sharing your thoughts and advice with us, and wish you lots of future success with the Frederick Giving Project.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely.